on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
Welcome to On The Ropes. It's 8pm, it's Sunday, and it's Phoenix 98 FM. Coming up on this week's show, news and views as always, and we are joined by an up-and-coming welterweight, Elliot Wow, will be joining us in part two of the show. Charlie, beautiful weekend weather here. I mean, I don't know what you've been up to, but I've just been thoroughly enjoying the sunshine today.
Absolutely, bro. It's been, it's been a welcome surprise, really, after the recent weather that we've had. It's been very chilly, hasn't it? Last week it was brass monkeys, but this weekend it's been fantastic. Yeah, been busy running around after the kids. Dad's taxiing as usual for all those fathers out there. You know, teenage children. You know, Dad, can you drop me here? I've got to go here. You know, before lockdown, before the numbers are reduced to six again, these kids are having parties everywhere. I've been a taxi driver all weekend, bro. All weekend. I've just come here for a break. Loving it.
I've enjoyed many things myself this weekend, but nothing more than boxing being on our television screen, Charlie. It was a damn sight better than watching West Ham last night. I mean, oh my good God.
Mark,
in for another season of nothing but misery.
I've given up, mate. I have given up with the Hammers. I really have. It's, football for me. Over, you know, these players are just paid too much money. I've just given up with West Ham. I'm going to start following the Orient, I think. So, yeah, I'm going to start listening to the Orient Hour.
Before we discuss this week's weekend's action, a few domestic stories to get our teeth into. Charlie, Shaquem Pitters will defend his British light heavyweight title against Craig Edwards on November the 14th. This fight is now going to happen, according to the British Boxing Board of Control. Mick Hennessy previously announced that this show would also feature Isaac Chamberlain and Idris Virgo, and it will be free to air on Channel 5 as it was planned originally.
Talking about TV, Mark, you're live now. Live now. I've just realised, I'm looking at your ugly mug on webcam. There's a Phoenix 98 FM. We're on all the socials, obviously on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're online. We're on Alexa. So hopefully you're all listening tonight. There's no excuse. We're now on webcam. You can see Mark live now. All you need to do is go to www.mixcloud.com/live/ Phoenix FM. And you will see Mark's, you know, if you're ever wondering, you know what, that guy's voice is, it's a bit mundane, that guy's voice. I wonder what he looks like. Go on the webcam. You'll really see how uglier he is. Yeah, I'm definitely the better looking twin.
Well, Charlie, come around this side of the screen. We'll get you on the webcam now. Come on, take those headphones off. Over you come.
Hold on, is it?
For all our listeners that haven't seen us live on the webcam, come across here, Charlie, and say hello.
Hold on, it's not widescreen, is it?
It's not going to hide that derby, that's for sure. Come and say hello. The webcam's up here. There he is, the deadly duo, Charlie and Mark.
I can see you on there, look.
You're up there.
I know where I am.
So, yeah, if anyone wants to tune in live, you can catch us on the webcam, as Charlie has just pointed out. Now, another story, Charlie. Obviously, this talk a little bit about Craig Richards, previous guest of the show. Shaquem Pitters, has had a relatively short professional career and not much of an amateur career. He was a footballer by trade. His father was a professional boxer. And he turned professional, and he has come a long way over a very, very short period of time. Craig Richards should have a little bit too much for Shaquem Pitters, in my view, November 14th.
He should do, Martin. You know, I commend Craig Richards for taking it on. You know, there was talk about Craig Richards moving on in levels, you know, moving up to the world level. So, you know... for a British title, you know, I don't know, but it will certainly, you know, you look at where we're going to cover, you know, people taking opportunity, you know, you're someone like Umar Sadiq, you know, on Friday night, he went out to Russia, didn't he? And he fought the fight of his life, really. So, you know, you can't really underestimate anyone these days, Mark. Some may say on paper, you know, Richards is the more experienced fighter. Pitters, he's awkward, he's gangly, he's awkward, but, you know, so too is Richards. Richards tall for the weight, he's got a long reach. I tend to agree with you, Mark, that Craig Richards should be too strong for him. He's certainly got more experience, but you know, we've had some fantastic fights over lockdown and they've been real 50-50s, and this one again I feel was a real 50-50.
Yeah, the fight was scheduled to take place a few months back. Now, Craig Richards decided at the time, or the team, that it wasn't right for them, for whatever reason. I think they felt that something bigger was about to happen for Craig Richards. Now, that didn't happen. You did touch on Umar Siddiq, who had that opportunity for the golden light heavyweight title. Super middleweight title.
WBA, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit more about that and why boxers take these things or take a different route at short notice. Also this week, announced at welterweight, the British Boxing Border Control have ordered Chris Jenkins to defend his British welterweight title against Conor Benn next, and also Richard Riakpor to defend versus Dion Juma, and James Tennyson, Charlie, to defend versus Liam Walsh, with Reese Mould versus Jordan Gill for the vacant title. Also, no purse bids will have to be in by October 14 for this one, but some good domestic bouts there. And what a test for Conor Benn. I mean, he's been calling Jenkins out for some time now. He's got his chance to win the British title. Can he do it?
Oh, Mark, cracking fight that. Cracking fight. I mean, we've had Chris Jenkins on the show, haven't we? You know, very, very good boxer. Very, very good boxer. You know, he beat Johnny Garton to take the British title, didn't he, at the Royal Albert Hall. He's a seasoned pro, he really is. And someone like Ben, you know, who's obviously, he's not had any amateur experience. He's really, really learning his craft on the job. You know, I don't know, Mark, this could be a step too far for Ben, for me. But on the flip side, you know, it could be the making of him. So again, a real, really, really intriguing fight. One I'm looking forward to. And like you said, you know, Walsh and Tennyson as well. Again, what a fight that's going to be. I mean, these fights are coming.
That is a real 50-50 fight. I mean, I can't really call that one. I mean, Walsh, I've seen him up close and personal at many of the MTK shows. You know, brother of Ryan Walsh, fantastic boxer. But the Walsh brothers are very, very good fighters. But I really can't call that fight because, that is going to be edge of the seat stuff. And that will be like round after round after round of elite professional boxing. Really looking forward to that one.
Yes, yeah, so you say purses are out there October 14th. I wonder when these are likely to take place.
Well, probably looking more like November. But, I mean, obviously, second half of the show, we've got Elliot Well joining us. Welterweight up and coming. Very good amateur pedigree. Let's get his thoughts on the welterweight division, because there are some big, big domestic names in there. You know, the likes of Josh Kelly, Chris Congo, we've touched on recently, just broke through from South London.
SMA. He was on last night, wasn't he?
That's right.
He took the IBF European title, didn't he?
On the MTK. Frank Warren, Queensbury Promotions. We'll talk about that later. So, you know, there's lots going on domestically, and it's really starting to warm up now as autumn does approach. Now, I really want this fight to happen this week. Gary Russell Jr. has confirmed he's received the contract to challenge Devin Haney for the WBC lightweight title. However, he said he wants the rematch clause to be on his terms, meaning that if he does beat Haney, he'd get to decide the network which broadcasts his rematch. Charlie, that will be a mouth-watering fight. It's like young and old. It's, you know, the future versus the present or the past. I mean, that is some fight.
Again, Mark, yeah, but you look at, yeah, it's an amazing fight, and an amazing fight. Gary Russell Jr., been there, seen it, done it. Haney, you know, thinks he's the real deal. You know, reminds me a little bit of a Floyd Mayweather. I know it's a bit of a big statement, but his style was a little bit like Mayweather, but he's certainly not proved himself at any level. This is a mouth-watering fight. It really is, Mark. It could be the shifting of the guard, or it could be the remaining of the guard. It's, again, one of those fights that you just want to see it happen. You'd love to be there, in fact, in an audience, wouldn't you, for that one?
And what this reminds me of really is you've got Luke Campbell versus Ryan Garcia in the pipeline. You know, not many people want to fight Gary Russell Jr. Cole Frampton's chose to go another route over his career. Santa Cruz, not giving him the time of day. You know, Gary Russell Jr. has been calling people out for a long time. He's a world champion. He's the real power puncher of the division. And fair play to Devin Haney and Matchroom for trying to get that fight on. I hope it does happen, because it'll be a real, real test both for Haney and for Russell, and it should be an electric evening's you know, evening of boxing. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, let's wait and see, Mark. You know, watch this space. You know, obviously there's a few hoops to jump through yet, but, you know, certainly one to watch out for sure.
And sad news this week, Charlie, also former undisputed middleweight world champion Alan Minter died this week at the age of 69. Thoughts are with his family, and condolences also with his son Ross, who was a professional boxer himself and is now involved in boxing on the promoting side. So yeah, very, very sad news this week.
Absolutely, Mark. Yeah, former Olympian, he was the world champion. If you recall, when Marvin Hagler came over to the UK and beat him, didn't he, in 1980, and Marvin Hagler posted in the week on his social media stream saying, on September 27, 1980, I became world champion, beating Alan Minter in the third round. And this year, we will celebrate the 40th anniversary. You know, he said he received the sad news that Alan Minter had passed away. He left us all in silence, and I hope he did not suffer. My condolences go to his family. Rest in peace, champion. What a fighter.
Yeah, what an outstanding fighter. Probably one of the finest to ever lace those gloves up from the UK, and he was an undisputed world title. So, yeah, thoughts are with your family, and rest in peace, Alan Minter.
Yeah, we did meet him, didn't we, in the 90s, didn't we? You were due to fight his son Ross, weren't you, down at the Irish Centre in Camden, if you recall, when Alan was there spectating, obviously cheering on his son.
Yeah, he was always watching his son, actually, Ross, and I was very close to fighting Ross, that's right, Charlie, from the London Novices. I actually lost to a club fighter at the time, Steve Johnson, who went on to win the London Novices that year and beat Ross in the semi-finals.
On the way, yeah. I was a spectator those days. I was roaring you on. But yeah, it was nice.
You were my only spectator. I had no one else. No one else would come and watch me.
You're number one fan, bro. You're number one fan.
The feeling is mutual, bro. Yeah, so another fight that was announced this week. And Charlie, you've been really, really looking forward to this one. You've spoke a lot about it. We've got Lomachenko versus Lopez been announced this week. And, you know, you must be looking forward to that one.
Cannot wait, brother. Cannot wait. That, for me, again, where we say the shifting of the guard, this fight could be one of those scenarios, Mark. You know, Lomachenko, he's been around the block. You know, he's been, you know, his ring craft, superb, Mark. His experience, superb. You know, he's a fantastic, fantastic professional. Lopez, the younger man, he's 23. You know, sheer power, tenacious, you know, attitude, you know, confident. It's again one of those fights that you just cannot miss. Is it the changing of the guard, or does the old guard remain? I just can't wait for this one. Really can't.
Yeah, so that's been announced. It's for the WBA, IBF, WBO and WBC franchise titles at lightweight October the 17th, MGM Grand Bubble Vegas. So yeah, get that one in the diary. Also, another fight to look forward to. Get this in your diary. September the 26th. It's been announced that Marius Bredis versus Junior Dos Santos will take place for the World Boxing Super Series Cruiserweight Final. And that will come from Munich, September 26th. Get that in the diary.
Yeah, Mark, that will be a fascinating fight. I fancy the Cuban there. Bredis was a bit naughty in the semis, if you remember, with his elbow. Was it against Klovaki? He elbowed him and the ref stopped it. And that was in the semi-finals. That was in Latvia. Like you said, this time it's in Munich. Hopefully the refs are kind, because I fancy the Cuban, I really do. He's a monster.
Yeah, you know, he's a big bruiser. So, yeah, it should be a tasty, tasty fight. Now, we touched on this heartbreak for Umar Sadiq Friday night over in Russia. He got stopped in the final round against Fedor Chudinov. Now, he gave everything throughout, Charlie. He took this fight at short notice. We spoke about it last Sunday. We you know, we had contact with Umar and we wished him the best of luck. He went out there, brave, brave boy. You know, he was a brave lad. He was up on all three judges' scorecards. He got stopped in the 12th. You know, sad scenes after the final round. He was rushed off to hospital, coughing up blood. But he is safe. Everyone will be pleased to know. But, you know, just what an effort. And I hope he gets the rematch. I hope he does get him back over here in the UK, because he thoroughly deserves it. And he's not shied away from any fight. You know, he took the Cody Davis fight. He beat Cody Davis. He lost to Zach Chelly last year. So he doesn't shy away from a challenge, Umar Sadiq. And he's not that well known, but I think he will be now after that showing Friday night.
I think you're right, Mark. I watched it. I got a stream on Friday night. And I had him up on the scorecards as well. He boxed superbly, you know. He really did. From range, because he was obviously a bit taller than Chudinov. And he was punching superbly well. You know, the jab was working well. The overhand rights, he was just chopping away, you know, doing his job superbly well. Chudinov really didn't get going until the latter part of the fight. I don't know if he was reserving energy because he knew that, you know, Umar took the fight late, so he must have thought that Umar was going to, you know, eventually kind of run out of gas. And he was so close, so close. It was, you know, it was devastating for him to go down in the 12th round. And I'm glad he's safe. That's the most important thing. But his stock will have risen. There's no doubt about it now that someone, you know, back in the UK will fancy a go with him, whether or not that's the rematch or, you know, whether or not you can throw him in with the likes of, I don't know, John Ryder maybe or someone like that, super middleweight. Certainly he'll want the Zach Chelly rematch. You know, Chelly was unlucky recently at fight camp. Someone like Chelly, you know, who's be a 50-50 fight because Chelly was unlucky not to get that decision against Cullen. So someone like that, you know, he's, as I said, his stock's risen and he's bound to get a couple of good fights now back in the UK.
Yeah, and deservedly so. Do you know who was on the main event there, like Friday night, Charlie, back in action at the age of 47?
Oh, I saw it, mate.
Danny Williams.
Danny Williams.
Once the victor of Mike Tyson, I mean, he was stopped in the second round. I mean, you could argue, should he really have been in there? Mentally, he didn't look to be in a very, very good place at all from what I saw.
No, I mean, he's got to be, what is he, late 40, 46?
Yeah,
46, 47. Unfortunately, you know, yes, he fought Mike Tyson. You know, he was big in the day. He had some, you know, remember he broke his shoulder, didn't he? He dislocated his shoulder and he went, I can't remember the guy's name. He thought he was a plumber from Walthamstow. That's all I remember. He fought a plumber from Walthamstow and his shoulder went. And miraculously, he carried on and he won the fight.
Yeah, he knocked him out, didn't he?
He knocked him out with literally like with his jab. It was a phenomenal display. Obviously, that epic fight against Tyson. But you know, Mark, you don't know his personal situation, do you? Why is he still fighting at 47? Why?
I think he has obviously got financial commitments. I think I read recently that he has to pay for tuition for his daughter at school, but. You know, at 47, the dangers that come with getting into a boxing ring at any level, at any time in your life, that there are risks. But at that age, really, when he shouldn't be so dependent, I believe, on boxing. But he's been a professional boxer all his life. You know, he's been a fighter. You just can't take that out of some people. You know, they want to get back in there and they still believe they can do the job. So he was back in action and he was stopped in the second round. And I don't know. Will we see Danny Williams again? Hopefully not. But see, never say never. Charlie, on the Saturday night show, Queensbury Promotions at your call. Good to see Anthony Yard back in action. He became the first man to stop Dex Spellman. It did look like a bit of a soft stoppage to me, to be fair, in the sixth round. But I will say that Anthony Yard's had a horrific year losing his father and his grandfather to COVID-19. I mean, he looked composed, he looked patient. He looks like he's been working on a few things in the gym. He didn't rush his work. It was great to see him back. And like I said, Dex Spellman's a tough cookie. He did get him out of there. And I think if the fight had gone on much longer, there could have been some real damage to Spellman. But I did feel for him because it was just a little bit soft, the stoppage. But Yard looked, don't get me wrong, Spellman calls him some trouble, but he looks a different fighter to me.
Wait, so you think of the experience he would have gained against Kovalev, right? Just going out there, just the whole experience, the confidence, you know. And I think him and Tunde have realised, you know, he gassed out from round 8 in Russia and they're taking it slowly. You could see that, Mark. The first couple of rounds, he was a little bit reserved, Yard. You know, he didn't really let his fist go. So he was literally just going through the motions. First 2-3 rounds out of the way. Arguably, you could have given to Spellman. You know, he was quick out the blocks, which he should be because he was only in action about 6 or 8 weeks ago, wasn't he, against Lyndon Arthur? So he, you know, he was remaining in the gym. He's been fit since his last bout. Anthony Yard, like you said, he's had a horrific year, you know, due to, you know, the illness and loss of family members. So he's. He's obviously, his mental state's been twisted somewhere else, which is, you know, understandably. But, he just took it nice and easy up to about round 3 and 4. Then he started letting his fist go. And, you know, without the crowds in attendance, Mike, you could really hear the punches going in. And you can tell that Anthony Yard is heavy-handed. There's no two ways about it. Spellman's a tough cookie, never been stopped. Some of the body shots, I was really impressed with the body shots, you know. He was hurting Spellman with some of them. Some of those body shots, And he just, I think, you know, the ref done the right thing. There's no two ways about it. He clipped him around the back of the head. The guy was disorientated. I think if had gone on any longer, you're right, there could have been serious damage done. And Yard now, it looks like he's going to fight Lyndon Arthur.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That seems to be warming up a bit now, and certainly on social media, they're going backwards and forwards. And also, you know, he mentioned Joshua Buatsi as well at some point. So he said that fight will happen. But there are enough domestic fighters at that weight for him to really have 50-50 fights and big paydays for these fighters before they go back onto the world level. You know, he was very, very close with Kovalev. He was unfortunate. He just ran out of that little bit of steam. But, you know, he is a real talent. I think he is probably the shining light, would you say, in the Queensbury Frank Warren Promotions. You know, he's one of their top fighters at the minute. You know, he's up there.
Absolutely.
They're pushing him.
Absolutely, Mike. And Warren knows that he's got a real gem in Anthony Yard, not only commercially, you know, because everyone likes him. He doesn't really do anything wrong. You know, he's a model pro. You know, he's an inspiration to a lot of young kids, you know, going through different troubles from different backgrounds. You know, he wants them to follow him. He's a bit of a role model in that regard. And he's got obviously all the big endorsements. You know, you could say he's probably this, you know, the lighter in terms of obviously the lighter weight, but he's probably like, you know, an Anthony Joshua replication, really, isn't he? You could say he's a smaller Anthony Joshua in terms of potential fan base and obviously...
Yeah, physique,
yeah.
Image, everything. He's got it all, and he's got the big sponsorship already with Adidas. Now, I want to talk about another bout last night, Charlie, which was a very, very close fight, a very good fight between Mark Heffron and Denzel Bentley. It was a unanimous draw on all three judges' scorecards, 95 each, 95 to 95. Now, Heffron recovered well after that second round knockdown. He took the fight to Bentley for me. Now, Bentley was very patient, you know, didn't waste his work, but Heffron was a more aggressive fighter. And I had Heffron winning that by a couple of rounds. He recovered quickly. He bossed the fight. And I did feel for Heffron because he was absolutely gutted after that fight. He just about did his post-match interview.
Yeah, he was fuming, wasn't he? He wasn't happy. And you could really see, Mark, both men didn't really like each other afterwards. Denzel Bentley... He fights at the Peacock Gym, isn't he? Trained by Bowers. He's apparently, you know, they've been, you know, singing his praises recently. As a middleweight, he looked like he lacked a little bit of power to me. I know he caught him with a flash shot when he went southpaw and put him down with his left hand. But, you know, Heffron got on his chest, Mark, after that. From about rounds 4 and 5, he really started putting on him. And you know, Bentley didn't like it. He did not like it one bit. And, you know, you could see the different styles. You know, Heffron come forward and he kept coming forward relentlessly. You know, it was a real, real 50-50 fight. And, you know, I did say last week I predict that to be fight of the night, and I was not, you know, disappointed. That was a fantastic fight. And personally, I had Heffron up by a couple of rounds, Mark. I think he won it.
Absolutely. Right, guys, we're going to take a bit of a break now, leave you with some music, and then part two we'll be catching up with our guest, Elliot Wow, a British welterweight. So we're going to leave you with this one. It's by Paul Wolford and Diplo, and it's called Looking For Me. We'll catch you very soon.
try to make it divine, try to make you stay. Cause obviously you won't, obviously you won't, obviously you won't, obviously you won't.
Welcome back to part two of the show, guys. As I said, we are joined by a very special guest on the line this evening. We've got young and up-and-coming professional welterweight boxer, Elliot Well. Elliot, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks. All good, how are you?
Very well, mate. Thank you for joining us this evening. Your busy schedule, we do appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you, mate. First question for me, really. We've seen you've been out in action recently on the MTK show in Wakefield, securing your third professional win. I bet you can't wait to get out again after that performance.
Yeah, no, of course. Obviously, that fight there was a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, it was over in the first round. It was quite quick, to be fair. So I'd done all that training and all that, and it was over. So really, I want to get out as soon as possible. Obviously, Adam, my manager, he was away with that Umar Sadiq over the weekend in Russia. So when he gets back, I'm going to give him a phone call and see what they've got planned for me. And then hopefully, I can get out as soon as possible, really.
Good stuff, right. Elliot. It's Charlie, yeah. Mate. Mark Sidekick, thank you again for joining us.
That's no worries. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. All good. Now, I read recently that you don't particularly like watching boxing.
Yeah.
And no one from your family are from a boxing background. I mean, how the hell did you get into the game then?
Well, to be fair, I'm trying to get into the boxing a bit more watching it. Obviously, Al tells me that I've got to start having a little watch. I've been watching some of the shows. But yeah, I'm not like a diehard boxing fan where I watched all the fights and stuff. I was just 8 years old, and a couple of my mates from football, they was going down there, and I joined them just to get fit really for football. And I think after 2 weeks, one of my mates was a goalkeeper and he broke his thumb, so he give up. And then my other mate just didn't really like it, but yeah, I just gelled with it, and I just enjoyed it, and I kept going. And I got to 11. And, my coach at Nemesis, Tony Pettit, he was like, do you want to fight? And that, and I was like, yeah. And I had my first fight, and it just took off from there, really, after I won that. And then, I just enjoyed it, and I just kept going, do you know what I mean? And then I stayed at that club for my whole career as an amateur. And, next thing you know, I had 108 fights.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How many fights did you have? 108? I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, some of your amateur bouts, you know, the McCormack brothers that you fought, was it Luke?
Yeah, I boxed Luke McCormack. It was my first year as a senior in the ABAs, and I think he was the number one seed, and obviously I wasn't seeded, but that was at light welter. And I wanted to fight him, to be fair, like the whole competition, I wanted to have that fight, because obviously he was the elite, he was obviously the favourite, and really, the way the draw went, I drew him in the semis. It would have been nice if it got to the final, because I did box well. Obviously, I got him in the semis, and I gave him a good fight. It's on YouTube. I did give him a good fight, but I think, he just had that bit more experience, and, he got the win, and then he went on to win the whole thing, obviously, in the fight. He won the next day in the finals, but, I only got to box him once, so, he's 1-0 out of here, but different ways now, but who knows, down the line when he turns pro or something, who knows, it could happen again.
And just before we move into your professional career now, Elliot, you did you boxed for England many occasions, you actually captained the country as well.
It was after I got to the finals of the ABAs in my last year, when I moved up to welterweight as an amateur, and I got to the final and actually boxed someone that I beat already, and then he ended up beating me, and I was a bit disheartened, really. And then I thought, right, I'm going to try and turn pro. And I had a little break, and I was in and out of gyms and whatnot, but nothing was really happening. And I got a phone call from my coach saying, look, do you want to go and box out in Italy? and I boxed out in Italy for England, and I boxed someone who went to the World Games. We actually had to withdraw from the World Games, I think the round before Medellin, because of the cut, but he was a good fighter from Italy. And then after that, I got another phone call from England that said, look, do you want to fight in Scotland? It was in England, but against Scotland. And I boxed Sam Hickey, and they put me as the captain, and that was my last fight, and I won that. So that was quite a good achievement, to be fair, because I remember, like, I boxed for England quite a few times, and obviously they always say, like, who's the team captain, and then they get to walk out with the flag, you know what I mean? Like, it's a good thing. And then obviously I got it in my last one, so yeah, I was happy with that.
Yeah, fantastic achievement, and obviously what a way to end your amateur career, right? I mean, you turned over then November 2019, you decided to go pro. I mean, why MTK, and you know, do you think you achieved everything you could do as an amateur?
If I'm being totally honest with you, I'm probably underachieved, I think, as an amateur. I won the junior ABAs, and then from there, really, it didn't really kick off, and I don't know, I thought I was going to go and go back to back and win it again, do you know what I mean? And it just didn't really happen, and just a couple of close fights that didn't go my way and things like that, and I think really I only won one national title and got to the ABA finals, like, but I should have, in my opinion, probably won four or five national titles, do you know what I mean? But just didn't really get, sometimes didn't get the luck and whatnot, but I think the three rounds and that, the faster pace, it didn't really suit me, especially as I got older. I think I underachieved really, but again, I had loads of experience, and I boxed all over the world, so yeah, I felt like the time was right to turn pro, and especially as an amateur, as a senior, I was going around all the pro gyms anyway sparring, because I couldn't get no sparring, and I was sparring good fighters, and I thought, like, I'm giving these really good spars, some of them I thought I was even winning the spars, then I've got up to like sparring world champions, and they're good spars, you know what I mean? So I thought I might as well turn over, and I know where I can go in this game. So that's the reason for that.
Now, you are a C Cup lad. You have turned over, obviously. You're now with the iBox gym down in Bromley with Al Smith and Eddie Lamb. I mean, it looks a good setup down there, some really, really good boxers down there. You must be learning heaps.
Yeah, I think, actually, I'm from Bexley, but I don't know why. They always say I'm from C Cup, but I'm not from Bexley. But yeah, I go down there now, down iBox. I've known now for ages, because obviously at my amateur club we had Lewis Pettit and Jake Pettit. They're both from Nemesis, and they was with Al. So I went down there, and when I went down there to try and wanted to turn over with Al, obviously the gym was flying. They had all young talent there. That Dennis McCann was there, Sam Noakes, who else? Obviously Johnny Garter was the British champion then. Like, we had like a good little thing. Then when I went down there, it's got even more good fighters. Got Ginge, Michael Burke, Henry Turner. God, I think it's probably the best gym back, to be honest with you, especially for young and up and coming talent. CJ from Ireland is a middleweight. He's a good, do you know what I mean? Like, it's got some great fighters there. And we don't have to go out and spar, do you know what I mean? We've got great sparring at all different weights. So I'm learning loads. Since I've joined the stable, I think I've improved so much as a fighter. So, I like it. Yeah, I like it down there. I'm enjoying my time there.
Good stuff. Now, I mean, you're big for the weight. You're welterweight. You're 6 foot one, southpaw. I mean, long term, you're only 23. Do you make the weight easy? Do you feel you're going to remain at that weight? Or would you look to move on naturally as you progress? Would you think you'll go up in weights?
I think I will go up in weight, but to tell you the truth, as crazy as it sounds, I'll make the weight pretty comfortably. I don't really struggle. Like, when it's a fight week, I'm still eating three meals, sometimes four little meals, you know what I mean? Like, I'm alright, I'm not going without. So, for now, I'm going to carry on making welterweight. Really, want to try and win the British title at welter, then obviously push on European and world in the long run. And then, obviously, well, I've got a big frame, and I'm big for the weight. I know I can go up through the weight. So hopefully, touch wood, if it all goes to plan in my head, then, I'll be able to, once I've done what I've wanted to do at welterweight, I'll be able to move up through the weights.
And talking about welterweight, I mean, this week we've seen the British Boxing Board of Control order Chris Jenkins versus Conor Benn. Now, Conor Benn has been calling for this fight for some time.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your view on that? Do you think Benn's ready for it? I mean, as you said, the welterweight division here in the UK has got some real talent, both, you know, amateur pedigree backgrounds, yeah, like Josh Kelly, I'm sure you know, Chris Congo, yeah, you got yourself coming through. I mean, what do you think about that fight? Do you think Benn can do it?
Yeah, again, I don't really, I've watched Benn a couple of times. He's like very explosive, isn't he? He's strong and he's explosive. And I've only watched the Chris Jenkins once, and it was when he beat Johnny Garton from my gym and took the British title off him. I reckon Conor Benn's probably going to win that one. From what I see, I think that suits Conor, and I think he'd probably win the British title. But yeah, like you said, the talent coming through the welterweights just in Britain, let alone the world. Do you know what I mean? Just in Britain, there's some really good fighters there. And yeah, obviously now they're just a bit in front of me. But yeah, give it a year or two, I think I'll be up there with them. Do you know what I mean? My name would be getting thrown about a bit with them boys there. So just got to keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully I'll be up and around them.
Good stuff. Now, you mentioned earlier that, you know, before you decided to turn pro, you've been sparring, you know, world levels, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, we've read that, you know, some of those names were the likes of Luke Campbell
and Josh Taylor.
I mean, what did you learn from that? And, you know, just, I'm intrigued to know who was the best out of Campbell and Taylor.
Well, I sparred Luke when he was fighting Lomachenko. But actually, when I was going up McGuigan's when I was an amateur, sparring Chris Congo, he was going to go down to McGuigan's and train with Shane and that. So they had me in for two or three spars with Chris. And obviously, I sparred well every time. And then they was like, right, do you want to come in and spar Josh? He was fighting Victor Postol at the time, for his world title eliminator. Box Victor Postol. Obviously, he's an orthodox, but he's tall, so they just said, we'll just spar you a couple of times. Then, obviously, as he goes into camp, he has to start sparring orthodox. So, yeah, I went and sparred him. We had two lots of six rounds. From him, it's just that he's so clever. Josh is just so clever. And, little feints and just little things that he does that I put onto my game, sort of, or I try to. He's one fighter that I look at a lot on the pads and stuff on his fights. So yeah, I learned a lot from him, and obviously I sparred Luke for the Lomachenko fight. They had me, because obviously after I'd sparred Josh, they had seen me and what I'm about. Then obviously when Lomachenko and Campbell was made, they got me in, and that was another good spar. I sparred really well then, but I think I was just a little bit too tall and big. Do you know what I mean? He's a couple of weights below me and stuff, so. Yeah, we had one spar there, but I'd say Josh probably give me a harder spar, but I think we're more closer to the same weights and stuff. So, it's good. I've been in there with them sort of fighters, and I'm giving them really good spars. So I know we're sparring, but I'm at the time only an amateur. I've excelled a lot since then, and that gives me the confidence for the future, for like where I know I can get to, as long as I just keep training hard and doing like what our MGK is telling me to do, I think I can get there.
And I saw your recent fight, Elliot, against Corey McCulloch.
Yeah.
I mean, he was undefeated himself going into the fight. I mean, great body shot. You're a southpaw, as you said, but how would you describe your style to any of our listeners that haven't seen you in action yet?
Obviously, I'm a tall, rangy southpaw, and I do like to box from range. I think that, and when I throw like from range at combos, that's when I'm at my best. But yeah, I'm adapting my style to be able to fight on the inside as well, because I think you've got to be able to do a bit of everything. And if you watch my last fight, you can see like I'm throwing shots that from like my sort of height and my style, you wouldn't really expect. It was a short little uppercut to the body that got him out of there. And I'm just trying to adapt. I can do a little bit of everything. I can pack a punch a little bit, I think. And that's it really. I'm just.
Now, Elliot, you know, you're south of the river, you've got a fantastic following.
Yeah.
You know, that since you turn over, they come by the hundreds to watch you.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like? Obviously, you've been involved now behind closed doors. Were your fan base not behind you? I mean, what's that like?
Yeah, it's be fair, I didn't really like it. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's got to be done. I needed to fight, and yeah, obviously, I'm not going to turn it down when they've got put me through with someone like an unbeaten fighter. So yeah, I took the fight, but yeah, it was nothing compared to when I walk out and all them people there cheering me on. You can't get no better than that. When I come out to my song, come out to Walking All Over the World, and that the place is rocking, like just goes off, and you can't beat that. It was a bit weird coming out to nothing there, but again, yeah, it had to be done, and I didn't really let it bother me, and it obviously didn't affect my performance, but I do like it better when all my crowd and like, all my people are there to watch.
We'll get that on at the end of the show for you, rocking all over the world by Status Quo. We'll play out with that one this week. Now, I just want to ask, before we start coming to the end and wrapping things up, I mean, how many fights are you looking to have this year? Are you thinking Southern Area first? Any names? You know, what route are you looking to take, you know, certainly for the rest of this year and into 2021?
Well, I think, obviously, I'm going to be getting 5 or 6 fights a year, but because of all this going on, it's kind of delayed that a little bit. Obviously, but after my last fight there was only a band. I'd like to get out, really, if I could, if end of October, and then maybe middle December or early just before Christmas or something. It'd be nice if I can get out twice again. Obviously, like I said, I've got to speak to my manager, Adam, and speak to Al and Eddie and see what they think and what they're going to get me out on. But, yeah, if I can get out twice before the end of the year, I'll be happy. And really, I've sparred like not the welterweight. I'm not sure I've sparred the welterweight one, but different Southern Area champions. And I don't know. I think, in my opinion, I know I haven't boxed at that level, but in my own head, I think I'm a bit past that. So I'd rather a couple of years time be ready, like for a British title eliminator sort of thing. I'm not really looking to go that way, the Southern Area, like the traditional way. That's just my opinion, but speaking to Al, he said maybe next year, like if there's a fight there that for a Southern Area or an English title, then he would take it. So yeah, if he wants to do it, like, I'll do anything. Do you know what I mean? As long as I'm fighting, and obviously if it does add and I can get little titles on the way, then yeah, I'll do it. But yeah, I want to be fighting for British titles really in a couple of years. That's my goal. Just want to keep going up through the rankings. I looked on Boxrec, and after that fight, they've ranked me 44 in Britain already. After 3 fights, which ain't too bad. So yeah, I just want to keep fighting people around my sort of rankings and that, and go up the rankings and get closer to the top 10 and stuff.
Well, you certainly do look a talent, and that was one of the reasons why we were so keen to get you on the show tonight on
Thank
the ropes
you.
At 98 Thank FM. We do appreciate your time tonight, Elliot. Keep a close eye on this young man, all of our listeners. He is a real, real talent, and you will be amazed when you do get to see him live. So, as I said, Elliot, best of luck for the future, and we do appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you. Cheers. I just want to say you quickly a massive thank to my sponsors, City Post. Yeah, they stick by me, and they're great people to have my team. So, yeah, big thanks to them.
No problem, mate. Go and enjoy the rest of your evening, and yeah, we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers, Elliot.
Cheers, you too. Bye.
Ta-da, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Charles, great lad, great talent. For anyone that hasn't seen him, you will be seeing him on some of these MTK shows very, very soon. And we will get that song on for him, Status Quo, rocking all over the world, for sure, at the end of the show. But, you know, watch out for this lad.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And, you know, he's 6'1". To be welterweight is 6'1". You know, that is he's going to be awkward for anyone, and a southpaw. And, like, you know, like we touched upon in the interview, the experience he's gained, you know, and the confidence from fighting the people like Campbell's, the people like Josh Taylor, etc., you know, and Congo as well. You know, Congo at his weight, he was a good pro. So, and I'm sure, you know, down at the iBox gym, he's getting the right, like you said, he's getting the right mix of sparring, the right mix of coaching. Certainly one to look out for sure. Looking forward to seeing his progression.
Absolutely. Likewise. I think we'll get that song on now for Elliot, because that will just, you know, top off the interview. So we're going to leave you with this one now. We'll catch you very soon. Status Quo, rocking all over the world. What a cracking tune that is, Charlie. And for anyone that was watching live on the webcam, you would have seen myself and Charlie dancing along. Unfortunately, he's got his West Ham t-shirt on. He's put a few pounds on over COVID-19, but we were absolutely singing and dancing along to that one. What a cracking tune.
Oh, easy, Tiger. You just throw me under a bus there. If anyone was watching, you would have saw me. I've done a little bit of a workout, granted, because I have put a little bit of timber on. There's no need for that, though. No need for that.
No, that old West Ham t-shirt's looking a bit tight now. Around the mid-rift.
I don't know why I put it on, really, after bloody yesterday's performance.
Well, Charlie, that's that time of the week.
Quotes of the week. There are only 2 days in the year that nothing can be done. One is called yesterday and the other is called tomorrow. Today is the right day to love, believe, do and mostly live.
Lovely stuff. Like I said, the boxing has been on our TV screens pretty much every weekend. We've loved every minute of it. You know, we're real boxing fans. Next week, we've got some shows coming from the US. Saturday the 9th of September, you've got Lubin versus Gusha. That's coming live on Showtime. Estimated ring walk is 4 a.m. in the UK Sunday morning. Also on Friday the 25th, we've got a show coming out of France with a young heavyweight, Tony Yoka. He's fighting Dufunes. That's coming at 10 p.m. Friday night. And as I said, the following weekend, we've got some big bouts to look forward to. The World Boxing Super Series final, Doritos versus Bredas. We've also got Josh Taylor back in action against his mandatory Kong Xiong. We've got Charlo versus Dervinchenko, Charlie, Saturday the 26th. That should be a good fight. You've got both Charlos actually on that bill.
I know. Did you see the price of that pay-per-view?
$75.
Outrageous, Mark. Outrageous.
Yes, that's a lot of money to watch. I mean, in the US, as many of our listeners may know this, some may not, the pay-per-view fees is what it's all about. You know, it's not like here in the UK where we go to stadiums to watch fights and we would look at paying pay-per-view and we probably wouldn't pay it. In the US, it's all about pay-per-view. Always has been.
Absolutely, Mark. But I don't know as well, I saw on the social media earlier, Sugar Hill has landed in the UK, Mark. Tyson's trainer.
Right.
Does that mean Wilder's back on? He's got eight. If he's landed in the UK to start training Fury, Wilder must be back on.
Yeah, could possibly be back on, yeah, because that's a very, very interesting point. It looks that way. So yeah, he's back in the UK, isn't he, to train him. So he's either getting him ready for that or he's getting him ready for something else. So
he's not getting him ready for the
got to be the Wilder fight.
It has to be. He's not getting ready for Drew McIntyre, is he? The wrestling bout. I mean, why would he be over it? Unless he's doing a road trip around Morecambe. I doubt that very much.
No, absolutely. So yeah, we've got those fights to look forward to. As I said, next weekend it's coming predominantly from the US, but then on the 26th we've got Josh Taylor back in action. We've got Charlie Edwards on that bill as well. And there are some big US shows of that weekend as well. So yeah, lots of boxing to look forward to before we get the golden contracts on Wednesday the 30th of September. Don't forget that one. You've got Ryan Walsh versus Jezza Dickens, and you've got Ahara Davis versus Tyrone McKenna, which will be mouth-watering. So looking forward to boxing now for the rest of the month. As always, you know, fantastic, Charlie.
Absolutely, bro, absolutely. And do keep listening to us. Next week we've got Chantel Cameron's joining us next week on an interview, just to see, you know, where she is within her career. Certainly in lockdown, you know, she's been very inactive. So as we know, you know, women's boxing's been fantastic over this summer period. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Chantel just to see how her career is progressing. So really looking forward to that one. But do keep following us on the socials, on the Ropes FM for Twitter. On the Ropes FM1 for Instagram, also on Facebook, on the Ropes. We're now on webcam. You can obviously listen and watch live. You can get us on Alexa and obviously the old-fashioned frequency 98 FM. So there is no excuses. And, or you know, this week's show will be up there online, www.phoenixfm.com. It will be up there probably tomorrow because, you know, a Sunday night, we got down tools and get ready for the day job tomorrow, aren't we, bro?
Absolutely. So, Charlie, so far, you know, we're coming now into the peak, really. Summer's out the way. You know, we've got these autumn shows to look forward to, some big bouts to look forward to. What's been the highlight for you in terms of the summer shows that we've seen so far?
Well, that's a tough one, Mark. You know, and I know it's the highlight. I think that punch by Povetkin for me. I really do. I know it was the wrong, you know, we all wanted Dillian White to win it, but just the heavyweight division's fantastic. And you're one punch away, aren't you? And that to me epitomised the heavyweight division. You know, I felt sorry for White, a 1,000-day wait, you know, but I don't know, there was just something sweet about that punch. I just love that punch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I was very happy to see Anthony Yard back in action last night, just from a personal perspective and what he's been through. And I think he is a very professional young man to, you know, to put things to one side. You know, condolences have come his way. He's got lots of friends in the area, you know, in the East London and Ilford. And last night, you know, to see him, and it was such a composed performance. Yes, you know, the Matchroom Fight Camp show has been fantastic, but Anthony Yard, you know, for me, is a real, real talent. One that's not quite out of the bag just yet. Very close with Kovalev, but I think he'll be a world champion very soon.
Absolutely, Mark. But, you know, that's to date, that's where we are in terms of, you know, some fantastic bouts and obviously domestic fighters. But, you know, even towards the end of the year now, we've got some mouth-watering fights. I think, you know, it's only going to get better as the year goes on. Yes, we'd all love to have spectators in there, you know, just for the atmosphere and obviously to G the boxers on. But they are adapting well. And, you know, we've got some fantastic fights to look at. To look forward to, you know, in the coming months and coming weeks. I can't wait.
Absolutely. Guys, as Charlie touched on, please keep sharing information about the show. We would like to continue to build it, not just on socials, but obviously with live listeners, because that's what we're all about. We're a radio show. We thoroughly enjoy what we do. You know, boxing is our thing. We enjoy, you know, giving analysis. We enjoy catching up with guests. So, you know, please sharing the love.
Absolutely, bro. Well, I think that's us done this week, isn't it, bro? Guys, thank you all for listening. As always, have a knockout week. And remember,
you're always in with a puncher's chance. Now, guys, we're going to leave you with this little player. It's The Clash, London Calling. Why are we playing this? Because I think we're all missing a little bit of London, or we're all missing a little bit of normality. And we'd love to get things back to normality very, very soon. Have a cracking week. And we'll catch you next week, 8 p.m, Phoenix 98 FM on the ropes.
So long, guys. Love you long time.
London calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go in alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going thin. A nuclear error, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river.
like a